Yes, Blur with Song 2 kicking off a beautiful bank holiday morning here on Six Music from the BBC. This is Adam Buxton.
Hey, I'm Joe Cornish.
And we're delighted to be with you this morning for 3 hours of nostalgic fun. Why? Why, Joe?
Well, because, Adam, of the fact that what it is a special day here on Six Music, it is what we're calling the Class of 1997. It's a special retro celebration of the year 1997. 6 years ago.
It was 6 whole years ago.
6 years.
That 1997 happened.
Actually, 10 years.
It was over 16 years ago.
16 years.
That this year happened. And what a year it was. We'll be talking about what a year it was and why it was.
Shall we give the listeners one retro factoid about 1997, just to get their brains in gear?
A filthy 97 tease?
Yes.
Go on, then.
On June the 30th, 1997, the first ever Harry Potter book was published.
I knew you were going to...
Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Potter!
The beginning,
Harry
the beginning of the good times for Joe Cornish began 10 years ago. Can you believe the world has lived under the shadow of Potter's robes for 10 whole years?
Amazing! How magical for it.
And we'll be thinking about all the other amazing things that began that wonderful year. How the world was better and how the world was worse 10 years ago. And we're, of course, filling in for Sean Keaveney. If you've just switched on, if you didn't listen last week and you were expecting to hear Sean this morning, he's in Italy for another week.
Actually, he's not.
Where is he?
Because on the way home from the show on Friday, I popped into a newsagent on St. Martin's Lane.
There he was.
And who should walk in
Keaveney.
But Sean W. Keaveney.
No.
Hello, Joe.
He'd come back from Italy. He's heading to the Lake District, so he's in the Lake District now.
Oh, nice weather for him.
Yeah, yeah. I said to him as I said goodbye, I said, hey, Sean, enjoy your last week of holiday. And I thought I shouldn't have used the word last.
Ever.
Because
it sort of implies that he's going
to
die.
He just suddenly looked really depressed that he might have to get up again.
I know.
Oh, I've forgotten about the fact that... Oh.
The early mornings. It's strange in the West End this morning, folks, here in London town where we're doing the show from. It's quite deserted. It's a bit like 28 Days Later.
Deserted.
Yeah, deserted.
Yeah.
And with zombies in.
In fact, ironically, Adam, there are zombies in London today because they're trying to break the world zombie record in Leicester Square.
Are they?
They're having a shuffle. I think it either starts or ends in Leicester Square, but they're having a zombie shuffle in London today.
A shuffle-off?
As part of Fright Fest, the big horror festival that's happening in Leicester Square.
Nice.
So if you're in Leicester Square and you see some zombies, don't be alarmed. They're just idiot horror film fans with a bit of makeup on.
Either that, or it's just like a couple of girls that I saw wandering down Oxford Street. They've just been clubbing, and they haven't been to bed yet. They looked so depressed. I didn't want to be them at all. It was one time I was very happy to be me. Now, music time. Here's the delightful Baby Shambles.
Baby Shambles with Delivery. This is Adam and Joe, BBC Six Music, filling in for Sean W. Keaveney. It's Class of 1997 morning, a morning when we celebrate 1997 and all the wonderful music and movies and events and talkings and doings. What happened then?
All the wonderful doings. That's the thing I'm most excited about. Do you remember all your doings from 1997?
I've kept them in a bucket.
Really? Yeah. That's great. Music, though. Let's talk a little bit about the great music that was around in 1997. 97 was in many ways a vintage year, not only for movies, which we'll be talking about later on, but certainly for music. But to put things in
for
context...
For what? Movies and musies.
Yes.
Yes.
Which combined is musies, yes. Radiohead's OK Computer, I suppose, is the one that many people remember from that year. Regularly tops the 100 Greatest Albums Ever list.
Does it?
In many magazines, yes.
Does it top it?
It tops it.
I thought Marvin Gaye usually tops those lists.
No. Marvin
With
might
what's
pop
What's going
up.
On?
No. By
or
no
the
means.
Beatles?
No, Revolver used to hover around the top three, maybe still does in certain mags. But OK Computer, I think, probably, on average, has topped the most...
Do you think so?
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't even got it.
Have you not?
No.
It's good.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good.
Is it? I should get it.
Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys also is up there a lot.
Can I get it in a garage?
That's a good question. I think you probably can't.
Are there only certain sorts of albums that are available in garages?
Mainly Roy Chubby Brown.
Simply Red.
Filthy, what's he called, that comedian?
Bernard Manning.
No, no, not Filthy, but Manning. Who's the other guy? Oh, Kevin Bloody, what's his name?
We don't know,
Kevin
Adam.
Bloody Wilson, he's called.
Is he?
Yeah. I think he might be from Australia. Anyway, back to the music of 97. One of the greatest albums, the most underrated albums as well, that I was going on about the other day, came out that year. Supergrass's second album, In It For The Money. That was fantastic. And of course, The Verve dominated the charts with Bittersweet Symphony and their album Urban Hymns. But let me put all this in context by telling you about some of the records that were selling a lot in Australia that year.
Why should we care about Australia?
Well, because it shows you what the rest of the world was listening to, you know?
Okay.
And stops it being completely UK-centric.
Good.
And it puts things in context because it reminds you of what else was out there that year, for better or worse. The top-selling album in Australia, and I believe in many other parts of the world, was Savage Garden's Savage Garden.
Wow.
Do you remember Savage Garden?
Yeah, I do. It got a lot of play in the UK as well.
Well, of course it did. It was very popular, but it didn't top too many critical polls.
No, lead singer Darren Hayes, he's now solo, isn't he?
Is that Darren Hayes?
Wasn't he the lead singer of Savage Garden?
Was he?
Lisa's not sure.
Yeah.
I think he was.
He's on the cover of Attitude magazine, isn't he, this month?
Probably.
Talking about the fact that Michael Jackson helped him come out of the closet.
Yeah.
Right. And he's all dressed up like all four members of Kraftwerk on the cover of Man Machine. Other top albums in Australia in 1997, The Wiggles soundtrack.
The Wiggles?
Yeah, they were way ahead of the pack. The Wiggles, of course, is an amazing kids' TV program that hails from Australia. And the soundtrack from that groundbreaking program was a big seller in Australia in 1997. Tango by Julio Iglesias.
Ah.
That was the number 98 top seller. And of course, who could forget Grinspoon's Guide to Better Living by Grinspoon. That came out that year.
They're very big in Australia.
As well as Unit by Regurgitator.
Now, if you'd like to text us with your memories of 1997, amazing things that happened to you or happened in your life in 1997, go ahead and text 64046, or you can email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
A band that popped up for the first time, I think, in 1997, who went on to become one of my favourites, Joe. Can you imagine how exciting that must have been for them? To become one of my favourite
Very
bands.
Exciting.
And it was all ahead of them then. It was Eels with Novocaine for the Soul.
The Class of 97.
On 6 Music.
The Restaurant on BBC Two.
I am chef and restaurateur Raymond Blanc. And on Wednesday night, you're invited to join me for the opening of The Restaurant.
There's lots of big egos, lots of personalities in the kitchen.
9 couples compete to win their dream restaurant backed by me.
I'm just petrified.
It's going to get messy.
You need to check in the kitchen.
Thanks, Laura. That's very helpful, yeah.
And messier.
It's lovely in here. Come on. Why are people not coming?
And even perhaps messier too.
It's to do with me finally finding someone that I can trust.
The Restaurant starts Wednesday night from 8 on BBC Two.
That sounds like an Aardman animation, that series, doesn't it? I just pictured all those people in plasticine. Big dogs and rabbits.
Oh, in no words, nobody come in.
And you're well when you're on The Restaurant. I wish that was an Aardman animation. That sounds ridiculous.
Finally,
well done, BBC Two.
I finally found someone I can trust.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing that again.
We are just rats. It is our job.
It's Ratatouille.
It is. We live in the restaurant. We cannot go outside. We will be killed by the humans.
Have you seen Ratatouille, Adam?
Not yet.
I saw Ratatouille.
Come on, two thumbs up.
Yeah, two thumbs up. It was very good. Ratatouille's the new Pixar animation. Listeners?
Is it Pixar? Better or worse than Flushed Away?
Oh, well, Flushed Away isn't Pixar.
No, I'm just saying.
I haven't seen Flushed Away.
Maybe not.
But there's a reason I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think it looked very nice.
Because it deserved to be flushed away.
I don't like films generally set in toilet bowls. It's not my number one location for a comedy adventure.
Well, there's a very funny scene in Flushed Away where the rats are swimming along in the sewer, and what appears to be a giant pop suddenly floats to the top of this little river that they're swimming along. Mm. But it's okay. It turns out to be just a chocolate bar.
Oh, what a relief.
Someone has discarded
that. That's the same joke as Kevin and Perry, is that? I don't know.
Probably.
Someone's done that joke.
And
before.
I went to see that film with my son, and I thought, well, is this as good as this film gets? And it turned out that it was almost, yes. It
that was the best
good.
Bit.
I'm quite excited about Ratatouille, though. Better or worse than Cars?
About the same, I'd say.
About the same. So
yeah, it has certain conceptual issues.
Right.
Similar to Cars. Not an entirely successful or convincing world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some difficult blending of the human mouse world or whatever.
Some leaps of, some suspensions of disbelief required.
Yeah.
E.g. cars talk and live in their own world.
Yeah.
On a similar sort of level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Required for Ratatouille. Does that sentence make any sense? No, about three parentheses in there. Parenthesi.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not entirely realistic, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the rats can talk.
They can talk.
No, but you know what I mean? It's just, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
This is Adam and Joe on 6 Music. Don't forget you can text us, 64046. It's possible that because it's a bank holiday Monday and the majority of people in England are in bed, even though we know that it's not a bank holiday in Scotland, we're not entirely sure about Wales. If you live in Wales, give us a text, tell us whether you've got a bank holiday there or not. But it's possible that we may not be getting that many texts. It's not definite. We may be getting thousands of texts, but it's possible that we've only got three so far.
Well, prove us wrong. Text us in anyway. Now it's time for the first of our session picks from the Peel archives. What have you gone for later on, Joe?
Later on I'm going for some Musical Youth.
Musical Youth?
Yeah.
Good choice. Well, I'm going for a band that we kind of fell in love with in 1997. In fact, we did a little piece for the Adam and Joe show with them. And they're from Wales. They're called Gorky Zygotic Monkey. And this was a Peel session they did back in, actually it was before 90, was it really 93 they did this? Surely not. Right, okay, there you go. I'm amazed at that. 1993, okay, there you go. But this is a track from that session called Merched Iniwd Gwaltegi.
Wow, you're good with Welsh.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the Welsh people will be impressed by that. And it translates as girls doing each other's hair. Enjoy! Merched Iniwd Gwaltegi by Gorky Zygotic Monkey. And that was from the John Peel session from 1993. This is Adam and Joe here filling in for Sean Keaveney on BBC Six Music, the home of sixes and music. And we're broadcasting live from the centre of London town, from the big British castle.
Yeah, now we recommend Gorky Zygotic Monkey a lot. If you've never heard of them, you should really investigate their albums. I think they're being re-released at the moment.
That's true.
You should also investigate the solo albums of lead singer Eyros Childs.
Yeah.
He's got two solo albums and a third one about to come out in the next couple of weeks.
Which is brilliant. The Miracle Inn. I listened to it the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, I got
Where did you get it
sneaky
from?
Preview copy.
How dare you?
And it's really fantastic. Absolutely
I'm
great.
I'm looking forward to that very much.
I recommend it strongly. In 1993, they must have been in their late teens when they recorded that session. Maybe not even. Maybe like 17 and stuff on their first album, Patio. There's some amazingly sweet pictures of them, and they're like about 14, 15. They used to just set up in their bedroom and play their stuff, and it was all very much homemade. That was one of the reasons we liked them.
Yeah, their very first album has a bit where their dad tells them to turn it down.
Yeah, I'll bring that in maybe tomorrow as well. It's really funny. You're playing too loud. Bass sounds travel. I've told you before. It does not need to be that loud. It's really good. Okay, it's news time soon, but first, here's gossip with Jealous Girls.
That's the.
Ooh. Yeah, he
from 1989.
You. Got
you. Tricked me.
Matt Johnson tricked you.
Damn you. that was The Beat, brackets, Generation. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Good morning. What a beautiful morning it is. I think all over Britain, it's amazingly sunny and lovely. Imagine all the stuff people can be getting up to today, putting on their little shorties and their sandals, taking a frisbee and a bucket of
lard
and going to the beach,
covering themselves in the lard and lying outside in the sun, gently cooking.
But you know what it probably is going to be today?
What?
Bank holiday hell.
Why?
Because it always is in England.
Road chaos.
Road chaos, bank holiday hell. If you're thinking of leaving the house, don't bother. It's hell on the roads.
It's the wrong kind of heat. The trains grind to a halt.
Scorching temperatures made bank holiday a misery for millions of holidaymakers in Britain today.
Thousands of festival goers in Notting Hill stabbed each other in an orgy of violence never before seen on the streets of the UK.
Motorways were totally clotted with cars, clarcots north and south of Britain.
Holiday makers keen to eat ice creams were poisoned in their thousands by toxic ice cream lollies.
Yes, bye.
Britain on a bank holiday.
There we go, holiday hell. Stay in bed.
For goodness sake.
Close the curtains, get under a desk, spend the whole of your bank holiday there, because it's Britain.
It's Britain.
That's the end of that link.
This is Adam and Joe, incidentally. We're broadcasting live from the Big British Castle, and it's now time for Joe's Breakfast Single of the Week.
This is exciting. Is there a jingle for this, Lisa the producer?
We can
no
make one
jingle.
Up.
Okay, so the deal with this, listeners, is each week Adam and I get to choose a single from the current sort of list of releases, right? And it gets played every day.
Every day.
Here
last
on our
week,
show.
We had Spoons, The Underdog, mm-hmm. which we played every day and was a delight to hear it.
And it's had a massive effect on Spoons sales, hasn't it, playing it last week?
They're now the biggest band in the world.
Really? Yeah. So a similar thing is going to happen to my chosen artist this week. And my chosen artist is King Creosote. And the single of the week this week is called You've No Clue, Do You? What? You've No Clue, Do You? Is it really that?
You've
Rather than
no-
You Do... You've No Clue, Do You?
That's yeah, exactly.
How it is. There you
exactly.
go. And it's taken from his forthcoming album, Bombshell. I saw him playing live at the Green Man the other weekend, and he was fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, he's got a lovely sound, lovely voice, lovely hair.
Has he?
Yeah, really shiny and
well
a lovely texture. Really, it's like he's just stepped out
of a salon.
Of a salon.
Brilliant job.
So here we go. This is Crinky. Wow, dear me. Here we go. This is King Creosote with You've No Clue, Do You? King Creosote with You've No Clue, Do You? And that's my single of the week. You'll be hearing that every day here on the Adam and Joe Breakfast Show on BBC Six Music. I just called it the Adam and Joe Breakfast Show.
Oh, wow.
How exciting.
How easily you can slip in.
Wow.
To
Sean W. Keaveney's
sexy
early
shoes.
Morning slot. that was taken from I cannot speak today. King Creosote's forthcoming album, Bombshell.
Yeah.
I've set myself kind of a challenge for Ooh. The week ahead by choosing that single because it's a bit of a tongue twister.
Right.
Isn't it?
Well, it's difficult because it's got no question mark at the end of it on our
it's
piece
a statement.
Of paper. So it looks like a strange statement. You've no clue, do you? But actually,
yeah.
You've no clue, do you?
His new album's released on September the 10th.
It's easy to say.
But his previous album, King Creosote Rules OK, KC Rules OK, is fantastic.
Where are they from, King Creosote?
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, I love it, though.
Have a think about that. this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's a special Class of 97 morning this morning where going on a kind of a retro trip down memory lane to 10 years ago, 1997, the year that the rapper, the notorious B.I.G., was killed in a drive-by shooting. I don't think they found who done it yet.
Have they still not found out
who
done
it? I don't think they've found out who done it.
There you go.
Nick Broomfield tried to find out. He couldn't.
No.
And he's the Columbo of the documentary world,
exactly.
So if he can't find out, who can?
If Broomfield doesn't know,
you know,
forget about it. No one's ever going to find out. The Nintendo 64 was released in Europe and Australia. That was your favourite console,
that
wasn't
it? That was the first ever video game console I ever bought, I'll have you know, Adam Buxton.
Was it? What yeah. had you done for video games before then?
Well, we used to rent them, didn't we, from that place in Lavender Hill.
Oh, yeah.
We rented a SNES once,
and
I used to borrow Zach's.
Do you recall that we had a little argument about the Nintendo 64?
No.
One time we had an argument about whether PlayStation was better
than...
Oh, I do. And me and Joe, one day when we were making our program and we were a little tired and emotional, we got interviewed for a magazine. I was reading this in my diary yesterday. I was going through for memories of 97. Mm. And the subject of video games came up in this interview and we had a little contretemps about whether the N64 was better than the PlayStation.
Maybe we'll have it again.
And I was saying, everybody likes PlayStation better. Tomb Raider, that's a massive game. What's on the N64? And Joe got furious and he walked out. World?
Well, I was furious, listeners, because, you know, Super Mario World was on the N64. It was the first ever 3D game, and I just wanted Adam to realize that this was a massive step forward in video game technology, 3D realms. Now he probably realizes he was wrong. In retrospect, he realizes that Tomb Raider was kind of mainstream rubbish.
Yeah. Listen, of course you were right, man. And,
thanks, man.
It was one of the most important arguments that two grown-up men have ever had. And I'm glad we had it. But right now, is it time for Joe's session track? No. Oh, it's time for PJ Harvey. No. What time is it for then?
It's time for a trail. It's 8:45. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Here is the trail.
She's going in a new direction.
I feel so old.
It's okay. Don't worry, man.
I'm depressed.
That was PJ Harvey with When Under Ether. Why are you depressed, man?
Not really.
Why are you having a little...
Because she was being all emotional.
Oh.
I don't know. Just a lot of tension built up over the last few days.
Yeah.
You know, early mornings.
Sure.
It's just suddenly PJ Harvey, she flicked some kind of a switch.
Oh, and it all popped out. It's okay, Joe.
Hey, listeners, it's why I'm only pretending.
Are you?
Slightly.
I don't understand. Are you pretending or are you really sad?
Who knows? That's why I'm such a successful actor.
Oh.
Listeners, we'd like you to text us 64046 because we're not sure whether it's a bank holiday in Scotland or not.
There's a lot of disagreement. Joe's girlfriend, Annabelle, who...
Is Scottish. Or was Scottish before I beat it out of her.
Assured Joe that it was not a bank holiday. Did she say it was or it wasn't? No, she said it was not.
She said it was not a bank holiday in Scotland. And here's a text from Liz in Edinburgh who says, after we said that it wasn't a bank holiday in Scotland, she texted in saying, oh no, I was adamant it was a bank holiday in Scotland too. I convinced my friend who's a teacher in Scotland she's having a lie-in and I've prevented children from learning things. Hee hee hee. Liz in Edinburgh. So, you know, this is having an impact on children around the nation. It's very important that we have a definitive answer to whether it's a bank holiday in Scotland or not. As far as we know, it is one in Wales.
Right.
But text us as soon as you possibly can. This is a sort of a minor national emergency.
It's an emergency. Mm. You know, because if the big British council is giving out incorrect facts about...
That could be curtains for us.
Curtains, not only for us,
but for all listeners of this show.
And the BBC
in general.
It's like
foot and mouth.
Exactly.
Everyone might have to be culled.
That's right.
Everyone who's listened to the show has been contaminated with BS.
And they'll gather us all up in a field. And they'll...
Government will come round with trucks, we'll be put on the back, and then they'll set fire to the lot of us.
That'll be it, because of the incorrect facts being given
out. Or possibly not, you never know, but it's not worth taking the risk. Listen, it's time for my archive session track, Joe's archive session track. We, Adam and I, have been rifling through the BBC Six Music Peel sessions, and sort of picked out our favourite things. I'm going to go back all the way to 82.
Yeah.
To the top reggae band in the country
in
82.
Year.
What a year. But we can't talk too much about 82 because it's 97 this morning.
Sure.
But the top reggae band in the country were, of course,
Musical Youth.
That's right. And they popped in to the BBC studios to do a session. The frustrating thing about some of these Peel sessions is you get excited about the band and you're going to hear some of their classic tracks. And then when you actually get the CD, they don't play any of their hits.
Right.
They play a lot of kind of obscure tracks. This is the case with Musical Youth. I wouldn't have thought they had any obscure tracks.
Which one were you hoping that they would play?
You know, the Pass the Dutchie.
Pass the Dutchie.
Come on, I'm only human.
What was the other? They had a couple of great ones,
yeah,
though. I mean, they covered
we
Desmond
Decker's...
went downtown
Decker's... to buy a little bike, but when Miss Order pressed me nearly, lose me sight. That one.
The Youth of Today. Is
the
that
Youth
the one?
Of Today, exactly.
And what was the one about a girl? There was a brilliant one.
Never Gonna Give You Up.
Was that?
I mean, they're all sort of covers of classic reggae tracks, aren't they?
Is that album still available, their album?
I don't know. I've got it on 12-inch.
Right.
I think I stole it maybe from you.
No, I don't think you
did. Maybe I bought it secondhand.
You were ahead of the curve.
It's a great album.
It really is.
It's got a terrific comic strip.
It might have been re-released recently. I hope so, because it is an absolute peach.
But here's a track from that session back in 1982. This is Musical Youth with Young Generation. Yeah, nobody says Bim quite like him.
Bim! Was he called Kelvin?
I think so, yeah. Kelvin McKenzie, he edited The Sun for a while.
Yeah.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. That was Musical Youth from 1982 from a Peel session.
Sounding brilliant.
Adam?
Yes.
Can you Just burn that off, that Peel session, onto your laptop.
Yeah, good.
Because I haven't got my laptop, and then you can run me off a copy. Is the second CD there?
Will do.
Are we allowed to burn the Peel sessions off?
Shh,
not really. Shh, but don't worry, no one will know.
Talk about it.
That's great, though.
That was amazing.
Now, did musical youth play their own instruments, or
absolutely.
Were there sort of top-of-the-range session musicians brought in?
As far as I know, they played their own... They were very accomplished musicians.
Because it's a Pete Waterman production, right?
No.
I think Pete Waterman was behind musical youth.
I think you'll find.
We better do some fact-checking on that.
That was pretty...
Listeners, if you can help us, 64046.
What was Waterman up to in those days? Was he not part of Art of Noise or something? Waterman?
No.
No, I don't know.
No.
I'm confused. But, I would be very surprised if Waterman had his filthy fingers all over musical youth.
We'll find out. It's somebody like that. It's someone who you would be surprised to hear. But anyway, yeah. That was all the way back from 1982. Now, the is it or is it not a bank holiday in Scotland controversy is raging on our text board. You would have thought it would be something that would be easy to clear up.
But apparently not, no.
But the people of Scotland themselves are confused about whether or not it's a bank holiday. We've had a text reading, it's definitely not a bank holiday in Scotland. England, Ireland and Wales only. Yeah? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's from Gail.
That's crystal clear.
And now Sarah in Edinburgh, she queers the pitch.
Nice.
Is that a phrase I can use?
Certainly.
By saying some places don't take the bank holiday in Edinburgh, so we can take a local holiday in mid-September. Banks are shut, though. Well, that doesn't make any sense, Sarah. Take the bank holiday makes it sound like it's a sort of after eight mint or something.
A delicious glass holiday tea.
But how can it... It's not just a voluntary
thing,
though.
It's not a matter of choice.
You can't sort of go, listen, I'm taking the bank holiday this morning. I won't be coming into the surgery.
Fed up in Glasgow says it's not a bank holiday here. And then Alain Decos says, Adam and Joe, there is a bank holiday in Scotland today.
What?
So we're terribly confused.
How does Alan know?
It's
not from Scotland.
Yes, great authority. No, it's me. That's a Scottish name.
Alain Decos?
Yes. He has great authority.
Alain Decos means Alain from Scotland. But he has moved to France. He does not know about the bank holiday.
Where are we going to find an authoritative source of information? The texts contradict each other.
Gordon Brown. The internet is
a tissue of lies.
The internet is a tissue of lies.
You know, you can't believe anything you read on the internet.
No.
Can't believe what you read in the papers.
Nah.
In modern Britain... there isn't such a thing as a fact anymore.
Who do you trust above anyone
Who
in the public eye?
Who do you trust?
Who do you trust?
A policeman?
No.
No.
No, I'm asking you, Joe
Gordon
Cornish.
Brown? No, he's obsessed with spin.
Is he?
Well, that's what I've read. Who do I trust, Joe Cornish? My mum and my dad.
Ask them, then.
They might not be awake.
Come on, they're bound to be awake. They're hard-working people.
Mummy, Daddy, that's what I call them.
Yeah.
Can you text on 64046 and tell... I think they listen, so they should be listening.
Right.
Just tell us whether it's a holiday in Scotland, authoritatively, please. Because if I can't trust you, who can we trust?
Exactly. Now, here's the DJ of Shadows with a track called High Noon. That's Editors with an end... has a start.
Think
about that for a second. He's got a very authoritative voice, that guy, doesn't he?
He certainly does.
You came on your own.
Yes,
that's
it does.
How you live.
And that's probably how he talks normally as well, just even if he's being offered a cake. Would you like a cake?
Yes, I would, thanks, but not that slice. Somebody's touched it.
Okay, I'll get you something else. Are you all right for tea there?
I do not like tea.
That's what he's like, probably.
Yeah. Do you know, in the future, he is going to be reading the news.
Is he?
In fact, he'll be singing it, because in the future, young people won't care about the news unless it's sung for them by a bloke like that in a grey shirt.
That's an absolutely correct fact.
And he will be in charge of the more serious news.
That's right.
Like worrying stuff, you know, political global turmoil.
And now over to Tommy from Editors for serious news.
Yeah, other bands will do the more light-hearted news, like Jamiroquai will do the travel news, for instance.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And Lily Allen, she'll do the kind of celebrity
she'll
news.
She'll do local news.
Yeah.
Yeah, like street markets and that sort of business and what the latest second-hand stores are. Where she's bought some little buttons. La 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 buttons.
And Kate Nash will do the weather.
Yeah, no, she'll clean the studio. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's Class of 1997. We're going on a fantastic trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
Everyone's favourite lane to 1997. 10 years ago.
I love memory lane. Can you remember what a year? It was a momentous year in many ways for world events that year. Of course, Bill Clinton. Yeah. Mm. Sexy president. The president one looks back on now and thinks, hey, those were the days. We had it good with Bill.
Yeah.
He started his second term as president of the United States. Of course, all the scandals, the Monica Gate, the Lewinsky cigar world was all ahead of him. And
he started as president in 97, did he?
No. Second term. And now you look back and you think, wow, why did we squander the good times that we had with Bill just because he got it together with that woman?
There was a similar situation here in the UK because, of course, 1997 was the year that we elected Tony B. Lyer into the government. Little did we know
that
he was pure evil.
He was a nugget.
That's not true.
That's not true.
We have to be balanced here on the BBC. He was wicked.
And
he made a lot of very, very good decisions.
I think he was wicked. Joe believes he was evil.
These aren't our opinions, listeners. We're merely refracting. We're not even reflecting. We're refracting some of the opinions out there.
That's true.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through a little refractive glass.
Refractive.
But yeah, wow. It was exciting. We thought the world's going to change. Tony B's going to come and he's going to sort it all out.
He sorted some of it out.
He did.
But he made a bit of a
mess.
Sorted
out Northern Ireland. But the rest of it he slightly ruined. And speaking of which, it was already bubbling away in Iraq. September the 25th. The UNSCOM, the UNSCOM inspector, Dr. Diane Seaman, saying nothing, catches several Iraqi men sneaking out the back door of an inspection site.
Sounds like the beginning of an erotic story in some political gentleman's magazine.
but it couldn't have been further from that. Yeah, she caught them sneaking out of the back door of an inspection site with logbooks for the creation of prohibited bacteria and chemicals.
Still quite erotic to me.
That whole miserable fart storm was brewing away there, you see. Back in 1997, September the 25th, the Iraq disarmament crisis.
But do you remember this hit record from 97?
Nice.
Yeah?
And this is Blue Boy. Now, we were just playing a little snatch of this to remind ourselves. This was one of the dancey tracks because it was quite a rocky year in the charts there. Mm. You know, you had Blur and you had Radiohead and The Verve and stuff. It was mainly about guitars and white men, you know, with angst problems. Mm. Mm. But here was a little dancey number from Blue Boy, and a lady, she was angry about the fact that she'd had a baby and the person involved didn't remember.
Let's listen to her complaints.
Yeah.
There we are, from 1997. That's Blue Boy with Remember Me.
There's a couple of different theories we've got in the studio about what's going on in that track there. I was thinking, actually listening back to it again, maybe she's saying, hey, remember me? I'm the one who had your baby's size. She works in baby care or whatever, you
in
know?
In mother care.
And someone, and she's...
It's an unusually shaped baby.
That's right. And it's like the dad's come in or the mum's come in a couple of months later. And she's like, hello, it's me. Do you remember me? I'm the one who had your baby's size. You were looking for it. It was an unusually large baby. And I went down to the stock room and I found it. I found that little baby grow for you.
What?
Yeah. And that would, and the mum would say, listen, is there any way I could be served by someone else? Okay, thanks very much.
Or alternatively, she's saying, remember me, I'm the one who has your baby's eyes.
Uh-huh.
Right? Suggesting that she's the mother of the baby.
Right.
And then she says, ginga, 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 suggesting that she's red-haired as well as the baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Exactly. I'm the ginga, 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 ginga.
Is that possible?
No, surely not. Because, well, unless you dyed her.
Hey, it's in the past. It's 10 years in the past.
All right.
Nobody cares anymore.
Deal
That's Blue Boy. with Remember Me. Now, we're asking you listeners to text in your reminiscences of the year 1997. We want to know what you were up to, if something momentous happened in your life, if maybe your favourite film came out, if your favourite album came out. What significant happened to you in 1997? We're very, very keen to know here at the Big British Castle. Once again, we're collating these facts for an important national database that'll survive throughout history, similar to the Doomsday Book.
We might even be able to play our Text the Nation jingle, mightn't we?
Yeah.
I think perhaps after this next track by Candy Payne, and I think we should maybe chat about some of the great movies that came out that year, because wow, it was certainly a year for films.
That's enough, man, just because wow.
Good point.
Because wow.
That's a special, a.k.a., also known as the Specials, I guess, with Too Much Too Young. And he's pouring scorn there on the notion of eating currant buns for tea.
Well, it's a stupid thing to do.
You know?
He's correct.
And he's saying, I'm glad I'm not you. You're probably chained to the sink having currant buns for tea, you idiot. You know? And I've reached the stage in my life where I look forward to being chained to the sink eating currant buns for tea. What does
really?
That say about me?
It's a sort of family version of the film Black Snake Moan.
That's true, isn't it? You know, that's not a bad film.
Yeah?
I enjoyed it.
You're crazy for currant buns, and it has to be bluesed out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, by chaining you to the sink and singing you songs about the joys of fruit or something like that. Anyone? I'm the only person who's seen that film, aren't I?
Quite good. Sam Jackson's good.
Yeah. This is Adam and Joe. This is BBC Six Music. Just before we move on to your texts and emails about 1997, let's just put this whole Scottish bank holiday thing to rest, because right. My mummy has texted in. Thanks, mummy. She's been on the internet, and she says that...
I thought we agreed that the internet
says, "Hello,
is a tissue of lies.
We're awake and listening and enjoying the show. Look Scottish bank holiday up on the internet. It's not a holiday in Scotland, but it is one in Wales."
Right.
So, as far as I'm concerned,
yeah.
My parents are, you know, sources of all truth
mm-hmm.
and justice in the world. That's true. And, you know, I think it is true, because we've had another very informed email in from a gentleman saying that in Scotland, the banks themselves are on holiday, but people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But individual Scottish towns may have a holiday, because different towns have different holidays.
That's the worst of both worlds, though, isn't
it? It's brilliant, man.
Everybody has to go to work, and yet the banks are closed. So, like, the banks are rubbing your face in it. We're on holiday, you're at work. You know, the optimum scenario would be that everyone's on holiday and the banks are open, so that you can go and you can withdraw lots of money and spend it on
toffee. Do you think it's
toffee?
The case that if you go and look through the window of a bank in Scotland, you can see the staff in their knickers with having a party?
Probably, yes. I would say yes, in the Royal Bank of Scotland.
Making rude gestures at the window to the customers.
Yeah.
Pressing their naked bottoms
exactly.
against the windows.
Exactly.
Exactly.
They're notorious for it at the Royal Bank
while
of Scotland.
Outside the window, the workers with their backs bent, a big sack of coal and tears rolling down their eyes, look inside.
The 14-year-old chimney sweeps and stuff. 14? They would be the bosses of the 3-year-old chimney sweeps.
Wow, what a world
what
it
a
is.
What a sick world it is up there in Scotland.
But listen, let's forget about the now. And let's think back 10 years ago to 1997, when we were all 10 years younger, like on that Channel 4 programme.
And many of my favourite films came out that year. Looking at a list of all the releases that year contains many absolute monumental landmarks in cinema history. The film Starship Troopers, Paul Verhoeven, came out. Now, I looked up a whole bunch of sort of top films of 97, and here was a list that was compiled by a guy called Bob Blackwelder. That's
oh, he's brilliant.
Have you heard of him before?
No.
No. Bob Blackwelder's movies of 97. Here's a few of the movies that he didn't like so much, and he tops his list with Starship Troopers, saying, "With this disaster of galactic proportions, director Paul Verhoeven proves that he can make a movie even worse than Showgirls. This flick wallows in just about every moth-ridden cliche known to filmdom and relies heavily on naked teenage girls and recycled special effects for what it deems excitement."
Well, he's an idiot, isn't he?
He's an absolute
misunderstood the whole thing.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers is a classic.
And what is the... It's the triumph of the will, Leni Riefenstahl's film, propaganda film for the Nazis, that is heavily drawn upon by Verhoeven in this much misunderstood...
Satire.
Exactly.
It's a satire. Can't be taken at face value, yeah. Bob Blacksmith, or whatever your name is.
Satire of propaganda and fascistic impulses to go out and conquer other countries, and in this case, giant alien bugs.
It's got a lot to say to us 10 years later. And in many ways, it's a prescient film.
Exactly. And it just happens to feature naked teenage flesh.
Yeah, anyway, there's nothing wrong with that.
In a sort of genius way. No, absolutely not. One of the brilliant bits of the film, in fact, one of the innovations that they have for this futuristic vision of the world, is that in changing rooms, men and women just walk around naked, quite happily showing their little totties to each other. And it's not a problem at all.
Now, here's a bit of music by Interpol. This is called Mammoth.
That's Interpol. Flipping heck, Tucker. Can you imagine the bloke from Interpol and the bloke from Editors on holiday? That would be a shouty holiday. Anyway, it's time now for the news, read by Yoland. Revolting.
It's a song about the back end of cars. Wasn't that used for an advert?
Was it?
Yeah, where it's got lots of people waggling their bottoms and it's advertising the back of a car.
Absolutely disgusting.
It is disgusting, isn't it?
Shaking that... I see you, baby, shaking that arse.
What kind of a message is that for young listeners?
Exactly. No wonder that country's in total disarray. If that was... When was that? When did that come out? Was that from 97?
Yeah.
The rot set in.
99. Why are we playing that? We're just confusing everybody.
That's confusing.
It's confused us.
Very confusing.
That track was a disaster.
Groove Armada with I See You Baby.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We're asking you for your reminiscences of 1997. 10 years ago, before the world changed.
Absolutely. Forever. Irrevocably. With the, of course, we're talking about the arrival of the Strokes.
Yeah.
In 2001.
So we've had a couple of communiques from our listeners. Here is one from Ross in Norwich. Ross is another DJ.
Is he?
On another radio station. Yeah, it's got his address at the bottom of the email.
You'd think he would be sick of DJs.
I know. You would have thought he would be sick of sort of trivial phone-in type things like this. But no. Ross, who broadcasts on Future Radio... the afternoon session has emailed our silly phone-in thing.
Well, maybe he does a sort of political show, so usually he deals
maybe
with the news.
Maybe he does. He likes to escape into the world of trivia and reminiscence.
And nonsense.
But Ross says, morning, you two, with the number two. Mm-hmm. I went to my first gig in 1997, which was the V Festival, and got hooked on gigging ever since then.
Hey, we were there, boy.
Were we?
Yeah, with Bad Dad.
Really?
We were at V97. Did you come along to that one?
I don't think I did. Is that the one that you and Louis went to?
Yes.
Yeah,
we went along to film for our show, and we saw Beck. We saw the Foo Fighters. My dad was in the mosh pit for the Foo Fighters set, and he got into a plastic bottle battle, and it was really fun, man. We had a great time.
Well, Ross says, I also had some sexy time with my then-girlfriend, Kerry, behind the wine stall.
He doesn't sound like he does a political show.
Not that kind of sexy time, just a nice Frenchie.
Oh, that's good, man.
Ross.
I haven't heard anyone call a French kiss a Frenchie for
sounds
ages.
Sounds really unappealing. Love your show, you two.
Yeah,
from
thanks,
Ross in Norwich. Hey, thanks for that email. That's precisely the sort of thing we're looking for, listeners. Text us on 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Here's one more that's come in via text. This is from an anonymous person. He or she or it, who knows, it might be some hermaphroditic mutant hybrid in a genetic lab somewhere. It's possible. Text you. Professor, you borrow the phone. Why, Grungleweed? Because I want to text music. No, all right then. Possible. Grungleweed says, I had my first boyfriend, my first love in 97 when I was 13. We both loved your shows. Then we broke up and I can't help thinking it was all your fault somehow. And I have fostered a bitter resentment to this very day. But it's gone now.
It's just gone.
Completely contradicting
this
themselves.
Morning.
One sentence to another. Wow, that's an action-packed email there. So first boyfriend there. There seems to be a lot of, physical activity between people going on in 97.
There was. I had a certain amount of physical activity.
Did you?
Yeah, I met the woman who would become my wife in 97.
Wow.
And the whole fraught Union was soundtracked with OK Computer. It was difficult because it wasn't like a typical romance. It wasn't like total love at first sight. She made it really hard for me to get it together with her. So it was really like lots
you had
of
to win her.
Frustrating evenings of going home and listening to Paranoid Android and thinking, is this girl on for it or not? I can't really tell. Anyway, the answer was yes, and I married her.
What a lovely story.
It's a lovely story.
So please text us your reminiscences of 1997, 64046, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Now, we had a choice for the next track to play, and it was a very difficult one, listeners. We could either choose Reef with Place Your Hands On, or the Spice Girls with Spice Up Your Life. Now, two tracks from 97.
Yeah, the Reef track I always associate with Chris Evans.
And the TFI Friday program.
It's your letters! It's your letters!
For that reason, we feel we can't play it.
No. Because a much more important phenomenon, certainly in our lives, was the Spice.
The Spicy Girls. And we think this is one of their most listenable tracks.
Certainly.
So let's hear a bit of Spice Girls, yeah.
Oh, hold tight. Steady on. Our producer, Lisa, said that we should justify playing that track.
well, we did. We had a choice between it and Reef. Yeah. And I think we've saved the listeners from Reef. And also, we've given them a sort of sexy lady holiday in a samba area, you know,
of
with
space.
The Spice Girls.
They were in space, I think, for that video, weren't they?
They were sort of riding on spice, what would you call them? Spice boards.
Hoverboards.
Hoverboards, and they were kind of slicing between high-rise buildings in a futuristic citadel.
It was the future, and it was a sort of Blade Runner-ish vision of future.
Well, it was the future if the world was controlled by the Spice Girls.
Everything
was colourful, there was a carnival going on all the time. And it was Brills.
Yeah, it was Brillo pads.
Yeah, strange lyrics, though, to that there song. Someone's taken over my computer. What's happening?
We're trying to print out the lyrics.
Oh, right, she's printing them out.
Of the song, because they sing so fast in there, it's hard to hear what they're saying. All you really hear is, I see ya, hold tight.
Yeah, but there are a lot of words in there. At one stage it says, Yellow man in Timbuktu, colour for both me and you. Kung Fu fighting, dancing queen, travel spaceman, and all that's in between.
What's that?
Well, everything is in between those things. All things in the entire universe.
All matter.
Yeah, a dancing queen and a travel spaceman. What's a travel spaceman?
Yellow man in Timbuktu. That's right. I remember hearing that line. And
yeah,
thinking,
that's a bit of a controversial line.
That's a strange one.
Spice up your life. There we go. Did you spice up your life in 1997, Adam?
I thought you asked our listeners that. That would be a good thing to ask the listeners. Did you spice up your life in 1997?
What spices did you use in 97?
If you did, just...
What are your favourite spices?
Marjoram.
I love marjoram. Oh, dearie me. Here's another lyric from that song. Flamenco, lambada, but hip-hop is harder.
That's true,
isn't
it?
That's probably a lyric that Posh Spice made up after a dance class. Oh, flamenco, lambada. Hip-hop's harder, though. That'd make a great lyric. Yes, baby, yes. Ooh. what an extraordinary song, but very exciting. It was bought by the under-sixes, I think, that song, mainly.
And, yeah, I would say that's
and, yeah.
True.
Well, it's Adam and Joe on BBC
you see
Six
the
Music.
The effect it's had on us,
barely holding it together.
It's made us hysterical with joy. now it's time for a trail. That's it. Sorry.
You see,
got me.
The Foo Fighters
got
with
me.
The Pretender. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Good morning. This is an accurate time check. Now I did one earlier in the program that was an hour late, confusing various listeners, but now it's 7 minutes to nine in the morning.
7 minutes to nine.
Yeah, and we've been asking you to text in your reminiscences from the year 1997. It's a special theme day here on BBC Six Music. All through the day, every show is going to be talking about 97, celebrating that marvellous year 10 years ago. Here's an email from Lee in Slough. He says, all right there, 1997 wasn't a good year for me. I got sent to prison for 2 years for unlawful wounding. Oh, well. Keep up the good work. Lee in Slough. There's one to get you thinking, listeners. Text 64046 if something important to you happened in 1997. It was the year, of course, that Adam got married. So did Nick from Chelmsford.
I didn't get married, but I...
Oh, sorry, met your wife. I apologise. Nick from Chelmsford also met his wife in 97. The fraught union being conceived to pop music by U2. Is pop music a track by U2?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
is it pop music? Pop those albums
from the Pop Mart.
Yeah. There we go.
Pop.
Do we have any other reminiscences about 97? Yeah, some great films. Here we go.
Yeah.
Do you want some great films?
Come on,
Phil,
yeah.
Let's get great films of 97. 24/7 by Shane Meadows. 24/7. As Good As It Gets? Yeah, with Bobo Hoskins and the Boxing Kids.
And no, it just occurred to me that I haven't... That's one of the Shane Meadows films I haven't seen.
He's something of a genius, Shane Meadows. Yeah. My favourite Shane Meadows films are the one with the naughty man. What's it called?
Dead Man's Shoes.
Yeah, Dead Man's Shoes is an amazing film. That's great. And This Is England is incredible as
Room
well.
Room for Romeo Brass is also well worth catching.
All his movies are very good. But that was one of his earlier ones, 24/7. Also released in that year... according to Phil from Preston, As Good As It Gets.
Loved it.
Waiting for Guffman.
Loved it.
Gross Point Blank.
Overrated.
Copland.
Quite good.
Event Horizon.
Brilliant.
Is it?
I like it. Event Horizon's one of those films when it comes on in the evening on telly, even though you've got the DVD, you watch it through anyway. Mm. A bit like Alien 3.
You should say instead of you.
Yeah, that's true. I should say I, shouldn't I? Yeah. Alien 3, you know what I mean? Like, I've got it filed away in my rubbish movies memory banks. Mm. But then when it comes on telly, I'll watch it through.
Really?
Yeah.
According to Phil from Preston, best albums released in 97, Jeff Buckley's Grace.
Mm. Topped the Mojo. Was that in 97? I thought that was 96.
Well, Phil says it was 97. Elliot Smith's Either Or.
Yeah, lovely.
And Pavement's Brighten the Corners.
That was a peach.
Yeah.
Absolute smash. There was a lot of good albums that year, man. There was Blur by Blur, their new grittier direction. Mm-hmm. You know, after the slight misfire of... what was it called? The Great Escape, which was the follow-up to Park Life, of course. But Blur by Blur, they were right back on track. Amazing tracks on that album. You had Coffee and TV, which was accompanied by that wonderful video by our friend Garth Jennings with a little man dressed up as a
milk carton.
One of the greatest videos of all time.
That falls in love with some strawberry flavoured milk, I believe.
That gets crushed very tragically by the wheels of a car.
Anyway. Now it's music time again. Here's some Shins. Yeah? No. Yeah.
No.
Oh, no, now it's our special funky track. Yeah, okay.
This is from Craig Charles' Funky Bunker.
Yeah, this is... We've got to tell you about this, listeners. The Funk and Soul Show here on Six Music has a special competition where they vote for their Funk and Soul hero. Here's the winner of this week's competition. Or was it last week's competition? Probably last week, wasn't it?
Just before we hear this, can I just say that whilst looking through the Peel Session listings, there was a mention of Craig Charles having done a Peel Session.
That's true, I noticed that.
Now, was that in his capacity as the people's poet? Was he reading some of his street poetry? Or was he playing with a band? If anyone knows, if anyone can elucidate, I would very much like to hear from you.
Yeah, but this is the winner of that competition on the Funk and Soul Show. This is Big Bird by Eddie Floyd.
She's got self-drying tears. Amy Winehouse probably really shouldn't be playing that song, you know.
Why?
Because as good as it is, the more we play that song, the deeper into the dirty pit of fame sinks Winehouse.
One of the papers this morning is speculating that the recent photos of Winehouse and her boyfriend leaving some sort of establishment with some kind of wound is actually an act of scratching one another's initials into their faces.
We've all done that.
Isn't that sweet?
Haven't we? No. No one has. It's insane. It's absolutely insane behaviour that you would only undertake having drunk far too much Pepsi.
Yeah.
Or something similar, you know?
She's out of control, but her music's nice. That was Tears Dry on Their Own by Amy Winehouse. Now, listeners...
Before we launch into that, a little bit of house cleaning. Mm-hmm. I said before that I was remembering Blur by Blur fondly, the album, saying that it featured Coffee and TV. Of course it didn't. Mm-hmm. Someone has texted in that Coffee and TV was on 13, which I think was the album that followed that one.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm really sorry.
There have been all sorts of inaccuracies in this morning's show. It's something we do specially for a bank holiday.
Just to keep you on your toes.
Yeah. Okay, now we'd like you, ladies and gentlemen, to vote for your album of the year, 1997. Now, you can't vote for any old album. You have to choose between these two albums that we've specially selected, and in fact have been selected by BBC Computers.
Can we expect people to vote? Read out that text from that guy.
Which one?
The one who said he was remembering that.
Yeah, here's somebody with... We were inviting you to text in your reminiscences of 97. John has texted in by saying, I voted for Tony Blair, and then Princess Diana died. I never voted again. John there making a peculiar connection, and maybe blaming himself for the death of Princess Diana in an unnecessary way.
Not a good year for John. But listen, John, maybe... Today is the day that you and voting, well...
are reunited once again.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, text us on 64046 and vote for your favourite album between The Chemical Brothers, Dig Your Own Hole, and Verve with Urban Hymns. I know which one I'd vote for.
Well, you wouldn't go for the Verve. You don't like Spadeface, do you?
No, I don't like the long-faced horseman and his moaning. So that's what I'd vote for, but you may think I'm wrong. What would you vote for there, Adam?
I might go for Spadeface.
Really?
Yeah, because Chemical Brothers is
good as it was. For Dr. Gloom?
I liked that. One of the songs that summed up my year for me was Bittersweet Symphony.
Really?
Yeah. I can change, I can change. Oh, yes, I can change too. Yes, I can. You're speaking directly to me, Spadeface.
You sound like a rattled old drag queen when you do that voice.
I know. Well, that's because I am. That's what my soul is like.
Yes.
But no, Urban Hymns I quite liked. And there was The Drugs Don't Work as well. I remember thinking, wow, this is a subversive song, you know. The Drugs Don't Work and it's riding high in the charts and... Yeah, it meant a lot to me at the time.
So text 64046, vote for your favourite album, either The Chemical Brothers with Dig Your Own Hole or Verve with Urban Hymns. Here are some preview montages of those albums, just to remind you. This is what that Chemical Brothers album sounded like. There we go. That's a reminder of the Verve's album, Urban Hymns. We want you to vote, listeners, between The Chemical Brothers, Dig Your Own Hole and Verve's Urban Hymns, both contenders for the best album of 1997. Text 64046 and vote for your favourite out of those two.
You know the amazing Michel Gondry video for the Chemical Brothers track, which is the one I'm thinking of with all the...
With all the mirrors.
Real-time effects and the...
All the mirrors? The lady getting out of bed and all the mirrors? Yeah, I do know that one.
Oh, what's that one called? Let Forever Be. There
right.
you go. That's it. Was that on Dig Your Own Hole? I can't remember.
We're not sure. We'll have someone look it up.
That would sway it for me a little more because, you know, that montage certainly made Dig Your Own Hole sound like...
Hey, we mustn't bias the listeners, no.
Yeah.
We mustn't influence them.
No, I would never influence them.
64046. Is it going to be the Verve with Urban Hymns or Chemical Brothers with Dig Your Own Hole?
Now...
Has to be one of those two.
While you're thinking about that, here's a slice of classic rock and roll from... Bob Dylan. I don't know if you've heard of Bob Dylan, Joe Cornish.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
He's like a little pixie and he's from space.
Wow. I'm excited to hear him.
You know what? That's a bad description of him. He's like a little old man from a wood.
You know, Bob Dylan, there's about to be a film about Bob Dylan.
Is there?
Made by Todd Haynes.
Right.
And it's going to have lots of different actors and actresses playing Bob Dylan.
Oh, for goodness.
No, it looks... That's what I thought when I first heard about it, but then I saw a clip on the internet, and I think it had Cate Blanchett playing Dylan, and she's brilliant.
Is she?
And it's got someone playing Allen Ginsberg, who's quite interesting. I think Stephen Ray or something like that. But it looks really cool. It looks like a kind of arty film experiment that might have worked. He's a bit of a genius, Todd Haynes.
I'd say a very small bit of a genius.
Oh, I think he's a bit of a genius. Anyway, I'm excited about that. And here's Bob Dylan with Rainy Day Woman. That's Bob Dylan there with Rainy Day Women, not woman singular as I introduced it. But women plural, right?
Yeah, numbers 12 and 35.
He numbers his women,
and it's one of those, song title tracks that's really very confusing. It's hard to remember, and also you would think that track was called Everybody Must Get Stoned, you know? In fact, I think I recall hearing it on the radio as a youngster and going into W.H. Smith and saying, excuse me, have you got Everybody Must Get Stoned by Bob Dylan, please?
And the guy sort of said, yeah, it's called for only day women numbers 12 and 35, actually. And no, we don't.
In Smith's?
Yeah.
Really?
There was quite a little muso
guy.
Those
were the days when you used to get musos working in Smith's.
That's right, in the Earl's Court Road. He was quite a patronising muso chap. I had to appease him by buying the model by Kraftwerk instead.
Really?
Yeah.
Tough times.
Absolutely.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We're asking you to vote for your favourite album of 97, but we've limited the voting field slightly to the Chemical Brothers with Dig Your Own Hole or Verve with Urban Hymns. Text us 64046. It's a good choice, though, this choice of albums, because it's very divisive. A lot of listeners are very supportive of the Verve and angry about the trivial, throwaway dance music of the Chemical Brothers, whereas another section of the audience are angered by the long-faced moaning of the Verve frontman and want to celebrate the hedonistic, upbeat atmosphere of the Chemical Brothers. So our listeners are at war.
Classic videos they spawned, though. I can't remember. I mean, well, Setting Sun, was that a classic video?
The Verve, of course, had the famous video directed by a guy called Walter Stern.
Right.
Who I went to film school with years ago.
Did you?
Of Mr. Verve Man walking down the street and rudely bumping into everybody.
Yeah, it was an absolutely iconic video, you know, and it spawned a sort of amusing imitation in the form of Vindaloo, wasn't it? Didn't the Vindaloo video have Paul Kay?
Yeah, I think pretty much everybody
spoofed it.
Sort of satirized
we did a little spoof of that one with some little toys for a video we did for Gorky's Zygotic Monkey for a track called Sweet Johnny, which you can see on the wonderful YouTube if you're interested.
It's very old.
Yeah, but we did a good little spoof of
there we go. So do keep voting and, you know, choose a favorite between the Chemical Brothers, Dig Your Own Hole and the Verve with Urban Hymns. It's time for my special track. It's a free play, and this is a track I just sort of stumbled upon on iTunes a while ago, and it's a reggae-style celebration of drinking a cup of tea.
But just before we hear it, explain to me a little bit more about how you find these tracks. I don't understand how you're sort of trawling through iTunes. What's your modus operandi?
My criteria, I usually look in R&B and soul and rock. And I just look at the little pictures. And if it, you know, it just sounded intriguing.
Yeah.
It's by, who's it by? It's by somebody called Bobo Desert, Luciano and Friends.
Right.
So it's some big sort of Jamaican reggae collective. And it was called Cup of Tea. And I thought, I've got to listen to a song called Cup of Tea.
So you get a little 30-second snatch.
Yeah. And it sounded great.
And then you invest.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I clicked it, 79p. And now here it is on BBC Six Music.
Right. But just before we hear that, it wasn't one of those tracks that was protected so you couldn't burn it off?
No.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist anymore, though. They're removing that protection, that ludicrous protection.
I couldn't answer that, Adam. Maybe one of our listeners could.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is a great track. You know, everyone likes tea. I bet you a vast percentage of our listeners out there are currently sipping a cup of it.
Mm.
And what better way to celebrate the nation's favourite drink than with a slice of reggae toast?
Dig it. That's good, man. I'm going to be listening to that. Harry Hill at 3 o'clock here on Six Music. This is Adam and Joe. Incidentally, we're filling in for Sean Keaveney while he's on holiday. He'll be back next week. So if we're annoying you, don't worry. There's only 4 more days after this left.
There's been another mistake on our show. The Chemical Brothers album with the video you referred to is Dig Your Own Hole, apparently.
I thought we were talking about Dig Your... Which one are we talking about?
I don't know.
This is Dig Your Own Hole that we're voting for.
Some people have texted in.
Wrong! You're wrong! Sussed! You're so sussed! I'm right! You're wrong! I'm the king and you're...
A surf. Yes. It's our celebration of 1997, 10 years ago, here on BBC Six Music. Thanks to everybody who's emailed and texted in. You can email on sixmusic@bbc.co.uk or text on 64046. Here's one that's come in from Paul in Glasgow, Adam. Are you ready for this?
Yeah,
cool. Hi. 1997 was a young, idealistic, stupid... Sorry, I'm going to start again. Hi. In 1997, I was a young, idealistic and stupid 15-year-old that was very happy the day young Tony got put in charge. My fondest memories are of a life-changing moment when Paranoid Android came out, and then OK Computer. I attended my first concert, be impressed. It was Tea in the Park in 97. I jumped about like crazy to the band that we all knew were the biggest and bestest band ever, Cooler Shaker.
Hey! That's right, Tatva. Beda, 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 Tatva. That was a good single.
Here's one from Matt in Preston. Morning, Adam and Joe. 1997 was a busy year. I bought my first house. I got made redundant. It's a nice little coincidence there.
Yeah.
Moved from Norwich to Lancaster for a new job. Proposed to the now wife and saw Terrorvision at the platform in Morecambe.
Hey, hey, Terrorvision. We like tequila. It makes us happy. We like tequila. Blah, 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 blah.
Thank you very much. Here's one from David. Two of my favourite albums of all time came out in 97. Stoosh by Skunk Anansie. That's one of your favourites as well, isn't it, Adam?
I love the bald sounds of Skunk Anansie.
And Whatever and Ever, Amen by Ben Folds 5.
That's one of your favourites.
Yeah, I love the Ben Folds 5.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Too bad I was only 13 at the time and not really old enough to appreciate them.
Yeah. What, so he's just got rid of them?
Yeah, he's thrown them away.
That's it. Didn't appreciate it. That's the end of that for Ben Folds 5, unfortunately. Stoosh is the kind of album that you would appreciate when you're 13. Ben Folds 5, that matures like a fine wine.
Yeah, a sophisticated thing to be into at that age.
Uncork that one anytime you like and you'll get some delicious flavours from that. Now, here is a band that I've gone on about a couple of times on this show already, and this was an amazing era-defining moment for me watching the video for this for the first time on TFI Friday. I just thought, wow, that is something different and special. And it was Supergrass with Richard III. Nice. Richard III from Supergrass, from their album In It For The Money, one of the great albums of 1997. This is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. Time now for the news.
Hooray, Dex's Midnight Runners there on BBC Six Music. What was that one, Adam?
That was called There, There, My Dear. The only way to change things is to shoot men who arrange things.
Is that the lyrics?
That's one of the lyrics in there. It's a great lyric. And their album, Tu Raye, is just getting the re-release treatment with lots of extra tracks.
They should really come back.
Yeah.
Kevin Rowland, come back to us.
You know what? I was listening to Kevin Rowland on Mark Lamar's show. He's covering for Jonathan Ross at the moment. And there is a reformed version of Dexys playing at the
really?
Moment. I think so.
With Kevin Rowland in them?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Listen, I've got some crow eating to do. I'm going to eat some delicious crow now. That's the phrase you use when you've been a dick, isn't it? And you've said something completely ludicrous and incorrect. Eat crow, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, yeah. You know, I was saying that I was the king and everyone else was my slave before because I said that that track, Let Forever Be, I understood that someone had emailed in or texted in to say that Let Forever Be is on Dig Your Own Hole. And I said, yeah, but Dig Your Own Hole is the album we're asking you to vote for. Anyway, there was some confusion. It's not on Dig Your Own Hole. I'm insane. And I'm sorry, I'm not the king. I'm just a very low-paid clerical worker. And I'm very, very sorry.
But you can keep texting us, 64046, to vote for your favourite album of 97. Is it the Chemical Brothers with Dig Your Own Hole? Or is it Verve with Urban Hymns? And it set our listeners at war, a vicious savagery going on between the two factions. We've got various texts. Here's one from Benjamin in Norwich who says, Hi, it's got to be Urban Hymns by The Verve. Some great memories come flooding back mm-hmm. when he listens to that. On the other hand, someone else has texted in to say, it's got to be the Chemical Brothers, and also there to admonish you, Adam, for your mistake.
Yeah.
Phil in Harrogate says, it's hard to choose between two of my all-time favourite albums, but if you play The Private Psychedelic Reel in its entirety, that would sway me towards The Brothers. And that's another thing you can do, listeners. When you text us in your vote between those two albums, let us know which track you'd like played off those albums, and we'll play one of them at the end of the show.
There's no way we're going to play The Private Psychedelic Reel in its entirety.
Is that a long one?
Yeah, it's very long. We're not going to play that one. But you can choose from Block Rocking Beats or Electro Bank or Setting Sun, any of those great tracks from the Chemical Brothers album. Or maybe you'd like to hear Bittersweet Symphony or The Drugs Don't Work. I wouldn't mind hearing The Drugs Don't Work, but I've been told it's a little bit depressing by my fellow studio chums. But I like that one. Of course, there's Lucky Man and Neon Wilderness. I don't know that one. I just read it out.
I think it would be good to play The Drugs Don't Work.
Yeah, I like
on a bank holiday in England. It would encourage everybody to stay level-headed and sober all day.
Yeah, what's depressing about being a cat in a bag?
Yeah, it's just a good message. And instead of wasting your way by drinking or maybe drugging, you should spend a day maybe catching up with some clerical work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe doing some DIY,
writing
or helping an old lady, writing some thank you letters.
You know, I've got a lot of thank you letters to write. I might go home and do that. Now, how do you like music, Joe, that is made by around 35 people in a big kitchen and they're all banging pots and pans together and shouting?
I love that sort of music.
Well, good, because that's the kind of thing we've got for you right now. It's the Go
Team. Yeah, the Go Team with Doing It Right. That sounds like the theme tune from some kind of Saturday morning kids show that never existed.
Yeah, that's true. I always imagine like loads of kids in a school gymnasium. They're all jumping around and the band is in the background there, the school band. They're a little off key and they're not, you know, they're not quite together, but they make up for it with sheer enthusiasm.
Joie de vivre.
Lovely.
Hey, happy Monday morning, everybody. It's Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's a bank holiday in Wales and England. It's a holiday only for the banks in Scotland.
And we here on Six Music are casting our minds back 10 years. And thinking about the year 1997 in all sorts of ways, musically, culturally, newsworthily. And right now we're going to do some more reminiscing about some of this.
Did you know, Adam, that in 1997 a film called Face Off was released?
Did I know that?
And did you know we're currently having a face off between two of the top albums of 97?
That's a very good link there, Joe.
Thanks a lot. The two albums are The Verve one by The Verve and The Chemical Brothers one by The Chemical Brothers. The Chemical Brothers with Dig Your Own Hole and The Verve with Urban Hymns. And it's time to announce who is currently in the lead.
Yeah.
So if your favourite isn't in the lead, it's time for you to get texting and rectify that matter. And in the lead currently is the long-faced Mona. It's The Verve with Urban Hymns. The Verve are in fact in the lead by some way. Maybe it's my cruel, groundless mocking of his physigog visage that has caused people to rise up in his defense. Text 64046 if you want to solidify The Verve's lead or if you want to help the Chemical Brothers fight back.
If The Verve does indeed win, or if The Chemical Brothers wins, we want your suggestions for which track we should play as well. So
now,
please include that.
Do you think in the world of money, and let's face it, that's all that matters in life, who has won out of these two artists? Who lives in the biggest house? I think it's probably The Chemicals, don't you?
Well, they're still a viable commercial proposition in a way that...
Richard Ashcroft hasn't released a record in a while. He's released solo stuff recently.
Yeah, his solo stuff does pretty well. He's one of those artists who's sort of unbothered by critical barbs, really, as far as the sales of his albums go. He's got a massive fan base and he sells pretty
well. Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
Well.
It's the money that matters.
That's what I'm saying.
The size of the house.
He keeps raking it in.
Does he?
Yeah.
Do you think they've got equally large houses?
I would say so.
I suppose the Chemical Brothers have to split stuff 50-50.
They share it, yeah.
They don't they?
And they're grubby little flats.
Yeah. Whereas Richard can keep all the money for himself. That's probably why he left The Verve.
Exactly.
He didn't like counting out the cash into all those different piles.
Because there was about five of them in The Verve. Yeah.
Yeah. It depressed him when it came to divvy up time.
Absolutely. He just wanted a big pot marked Ashcroft.
Yeah.
And that's what he's got now.
But hey, it's not about the money, is it, kids? No, it's about the quality of music and it's about integrity. It's about going to sleep at night thinking, hey, I've produced something really good. And both those artists can do that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we were going to chat a little more about the movies of 1997. Well, can I return you to another review from Bob Blackwelder before you do a little reminiscing there?
This is the guy that thought that Starship Troopers was awful.
Bob Blackwelder reviews The Peacemaker, which was George Clooney's first big screen outing. He was paired up with...
It wasn't his first big screen outing, was it?
I think it was.
Before From Dusk Till Dawn?
Perhaps not, but it was his first big blockbuster. I was going to go on to qualify that, because of course his first big screen outing was either The Blob or Killer Tomatoes or something like that, wasn't it?
Something like that.
Anyway, The Peacemaker, says Bob Blackwelder, this riveting sledgehammer of an action movie was one of the best films of the year. While it visits many standard action staples, car chases, shootouts and terrorists with stolen nukes, this movie treats them with a fresh eye and it invokes more cerebral classic espionage fare at the same time. Director Mimi Leder knows her job is to overdose the audience on adrenaline. She just goes about it by employing more artful channels than the genre requires. Rubbish. Bob Blackwelder, you are insane.
Have you seen it?
That is one of the dullest films I've ever seen.
I like to call it the pacemaker.
Nice, Joe. You're the king.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of movies were you digging at the time, though?
I was digging Air Bud about a about a golden retriever with tiny little shoes that plays basketball. But enough of that, because it's music time. What's coming up next?
This is from one of the big albums, the Mercury Prize-winning Life Forms, was it called? I can't remember. Something like that. By Ronnie Size. The Ronnie Size Represent. What was it? New Forms, I think the album was called, before I get into another inaccuracy hole. And this track is called Brown Paper Bag.
This is BBC Six Music. This is Adam and Joe filling in for Sean W. Keaveney, who's come back from his holiday in Tuscany.
Said it was a little bit rainy.
And is now in the Lake District.
Where it's bound to be rainy, surely. I mean, that's madness.
We're still doing our exciting vote for your favourite album of 1997 between the Chemical Brothers with Dig Your Own and the Verve with Urban Hymns.
Dig Your Own what?
Just Dig Your Own.
Dig Your Own. Go on, just Dig Your Own. We'll hear the winning track after this one. This is one of my free plays right now, and this is from a band called The Willows, and they featured on the soundtrack to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Great soundtrack, incidentally, and this is a brilliant album that they've got. It's called Chautauqua. Oh, I don't know. Something like that.
Chautauqua.
And I urge you to check out the video for this track, which is called Jubilee by The Willows with a Z at the end on YouTube. It's really a great little video, and you'll be impressed. But here's the track, Jubilee by The Willows. Very nice. That's Jubilee by The Willows. The video is like, you know, when you do that thing, you put a long exposure on a photograph and you've got a sparkler and you can write your name and stuff with a sparkler. Well, that's the basic concept of the video, except not only do they sort of paint with light, they start animating the light trails as well.
Wow.
And it's all done in camera, no trickery. It's really amazing. You've got to check it out. The Willows, Jubilee is the track, and you can see that on YouTube. But that's pretty much the end of the show. What's won the album vote, Joe?
Well, they were out in front halfway through the show, and they're still out in front. It is the Verve with Bittersweet. No, Urban Hymns.
Urban Hymns, yeah.
Clearly, yeah. Some facts about that album, released on the 29th of September, 97. And in 1998, Q Readers voted it the 18th best album of all time.
That's insane.
Isn't that insane?
That's absolutely insane.
So here we go, and the track we're going to choose is Sonnet. So that's it from us today. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 till 10. After us, the wonderful Anita Rani filling in for Gideon Coe. Thanks for listening. Have a great bank holiday if you got one. Don't if you don't.